The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Microcap News on Monday, the 29th of September, 2025. We have literally 2 days left. Is that right? Yeah. Tomorrow's the 30th. The 1st of October, Q4 on Wednesday. Time is flying, isn't it? Now, normally, so September, I did do, if you didn't listen to Friday's podcast, I think it was Friday's, I went through some stats on September. It's not a good month. It's the worst month. Even since 1927, it's the only negative month over, in that entire period, it's the only negative month. So you can expect some sell-offs, and of course, you get negative narratives coming out, and the market sells off, selling begets selling. So there's some bargains to be had in September, I believe, because generally, October, November, December, especially November, December, are generally up months, positive months. The problem we've got is we've got the sword of Damocles or the sword of Reeves hanging over us in the budget. Now, I did watch, today, I raked up some leaves in the garden and I rushed in to watch Rachel Reeves. Don't know why. It's more interesting watching leaves or, you know, raking up leaves in the garden. But I learned nothing new at all from her Labour conference speech today. She kept saying, we aren't the Conservative Party. I know that. You're Labour. I mean, she kept repeating that over and over again. And it also mentioned reform. You realise Labour's policies now are being directed by reform, pretty much. They're scared. They're looking at the polls and they're worried about hemorrhaging votes to reform. And I just hope reform will be better with business than Labour. But I do worry that the country being chaos with reform. But you could argue the country's in chaos anyway. So how bad can it get? I mean, the thing is, what Rachel Reeves needs to do, because it doesn't matter what she says, and let's be honest, at party conferences, you can say anything. It's so annoying the amount of applause they get. Just people clapping every sentence. They've obviously been told to do this. Clap as much as you can. Clap all the time. Just clap, clap, clap. Make it sound like it's the best policy ever. She's the best chancellor ever, which we know she isn't by a long talk. But, I mean, you can say absolutely anything and you get applause. It's so annoying to watch. I just want to listen to see if she had anything, you know, new to say on the economy or the budget in some way. Nothing, really. Absolutely nothing. I mean, she may as well just stood up there and said, oh, I had breakfast this morning. And they just applause that. Yes, well done, Rachel, for having breakfast. Yes. I had a banana. Oh, well done, Rachel, for having a banana. And I had a coffee. Oh, it's caffeine in that. It was non-caffeinated. Oh, well done, Rachel. Yes, yes, well done. It's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. But apparently, according to the BBC, I didn't pick this out. So the government is facing difficult choices as she promised she would not take risks with the public finances. So all we want to know, I mean, we know there's bad stuff in the budget. Right? We know she's going to have to raise taxes somewhere. But what about on working people? Working people. Oh. I don't know what she's going to do there. How's she going to get around that? Probably pensioners, saying they're not working. Just enjoying their lives after working all their lives. How dare they enjoy their lives after working entire life? How dare they relax and enjoy some income? Well, I'm going to tax them. Maybe that's just between the pensioners. But they need to start releasing or leaking some positives because the budget has to have some positives in it. So they need to start doing this because, you know, again, it's this stagnation of investment. Everyone not, you know, doing anything, worried about what's going to be in the budget. And the fact, it just shows how out of touch they are. The fact they actually delayed the budget by so long, not realising they're going to affect one of the busiest periods commercially for businesses in the calendar. It just shows how, you know, just the lack of judgment they have from a business perspective. You know, they should have got it out and straight away and let Q4 do its thing. You know, now they're not. They're right in the middle of Q4. And stopping people spending or worried about buying houses or anything. It just smacks of ineptitude, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm sorry. Every time I see the politicians stand up and do something, say something and talk nonsense, because you know they're lying. It's the old saying, isn't it? How can you tell a politician's lying? They're moving their mouth. Okay, let's look at the markets. Scroll down here. FTSE 100, it's up 0.16% to 9299. Not far off an all-time high. 9317, so 18 points off an all-time high. FTSE, let's go 250. Just shy of 1%, in fact, 0.85%, 21,866. Let's look at the small cap. That's up 0.45%, 7,236. The AIM All Share, it's back above 780. It did close at, what did it close at on, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday, 782. So now it's 780, not far off that recent high. That's okay. Commodities, Brent crude, it's pretty much flat. In fact, it dropped on Friday by 3.89%. Wow. It's at $67.93 a barrel. Gold, all-time high again. Gold is up 1.35%. Apparently, this is a lot of, I just read John Mayer's, it's worth subscribing to that. A lot of ETF buying in gold. It's a push up higher, but I do think the ETF crowd are a little bit late here, you know. The only exposure I have to gold, really, in a roundabout way, is Ramsden's, of course, which they will react on financial results. When they come out, they'll release financial results. If they'll be a lot better because gold will be flying out the doors. And, of course, anything they hold in gold is worth more. So assets are worth more. So it's very bullish for them, but it's in a less exposed way. If you want real exposure, you get a gold miner. But like I say, if the gold price comes back a little bit now after a rally, people will start probably selling very quickly, whereas Ramsden's not that exposed. They've got four parts of the business, so it's not like they, and they make a margin on it. It's not like they've got a fixed cost base on operating leverage and all that stuff. So, it's different kind of animal, but I'm happy with more less exposed. Because I do feel, I know it can keep going up, but I do feel the gold trade is quite long in the tooth. People have been talking about gold for a long time now. And while you get these frothy sort of, you know, bullish markets in certain commodities, bull markets like that can go on for a lot longer. Because people, you know, you'd be surprised how many people just realise that gold's hitting all-time highs. When, of course, it was hitting all-time highs, well, back in April, pretty much. And in fact, back in March. But it's still doing it. It did plateau for a while. So you'd be surprised how long the lag is. In fact, I was talking about in the chat group or Chip, because, you know, the dub chat group, someone's talking about uranium and whether it's too late to buy in. I said, no, I don't think anywhere near the high in uranium. I would prefer uranium play now than gold, because I believe uranium's rising off sentiment. You have all these countries turning favourable on uranium, you know, about having small modular reactors. They realise it's actually a clean energy. And it's the only clean energy, I think, that's got 24-hour, you know, 24-7 baseload power. Straight away, switch it on, gone, done there. It's not like, you know, solar or wind, where you have to store it somewhere and only at certain times of day can you produce. Any time of day, you can switch uranium on, it's there. Very powerful, very clean. And it's very safe now, you know. Let's be honest, the Japanese disaster, it was only a problem because they didn't build the walls high enough. It wasn't anything to do with the reactor shutting down. Just the tsunami came. They didn't build a wall high enough to protect the nuclear power plant. So that was the only worry about it. But there's been no sort of, you know, apart from Chernobyl, but that was like Russian. I feel like the Russians probably cut corners on health and safety, didn't you? But that was a very old reactor. You know, the technology these days is amazing. So they're very safe places, and it's going to be the power of the future. And like I say, I only believe that uranium is rallying right now off sentiment, off all these big tech companies taking positions in small modular reactors or in nuclear power stations. The real true buying of uranium hasn't started, really. Well, it sort of has. You get a couple of funds. I think it's a Tech Resort Tech that started buying. I think Yellow Cake started buying a bit more. These funds wouldn't be buying uranium here if it wasn't going a lot higher. Now, from 2021 to the end of 2023, uranium went from $27 a pound to $104 a pound. And that was before the AI thing started kicking in and realised, oh, we need more power. AI is a huge consumer. And also, AI is going to be all-consuming. Everyone's going to be using AI. We are now. Whether you do a Google search, you know, AI gives you AI option. All kinds of things you do now is touched by AI. It's only going to get bigger. It's only going to suck more energy in. And I've quoted this quite a few times, but, you know, unless you've not heard it before, an AI search 10 times more energy consumption than a Google search. And that power has to come from somewhere. So there's going to be, and of course, you've got gas and electricity and wind and stuff, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And you need 24-hour baseload power, and that's uranium. That's, you know, small modular reactors. Every country and most big tech companies are very bullish on uranium, or they're taking stakes in uranium. So the true buying, I don't think, I think that was a 350% rise from 21 to end of 23. I think it'll be magnitudes of that. We're now at, 70, what are we, uranium? 70, that's a, no, 82. We are on 82, this is for the futures, $82 a pound. And it just came off a recent low of 863. And that was the correction, or the, you know, the consolidation from the rally to January 24, when it hit $106 a pound. And it went all the way down to 60. Now we're starting to see this base forming. You've got this run of a night tick happening. And of course, it's not a straight up, but I believe we'll see new highs in uranium. I don't know when, but you know, maybe next 12 months, maybe next 2 years, but it's going to get there. The true actual buying of uranium. Because these, you know, a lot of these small modular reactors and nuclear power stations take, you know, I think small modular reactors take for 5 years, the SMRs, and, you know, fully blown big power nuclear power stations can take 10 to 15 years. So, of course, they obviously have to pre-buy that and pre-order the uranium, I'm assuming, but it won't be for a while. So the true buying yet hasn't really started. But you may get the stage where, because the price starts going up, people have to start, you know, almost forward buying it, you know, locking in their price right now. So you may see some buying happening, but as yet, the true big buying hasn't started. Uranium's going to be, I'm calling $400 a pound uranium. That's what I'm saying. What's that based off? Nothing. You see that with Bitcoin people, don't you? It's like people say, I can see $1 million Bitcoin. Why is that? Well, if you, just the demand, yeah? What are you basing that off? What's the model? If you extrapolate the amount of people on gold to the people holding Bitcoin in 2025, then you'll get to $1 million. Really? I think so, yes. I just heard someone else say it. That's all. That's why I'm saying it. So, but yeah, I think, based off real demand and lack of supply, because, of course, you know, setting up a mining operation for uranium takes a long time. So I can see demand, you know, kicking up in the next few years massively, and supply not being able to quench that demand. So it's a simple, you know, supply demand problem, isn't it? That's uranium anyway. I should put uranium into the thing. It's up a little bit down. It went up to 83.65, I think, on Friday. It came back to 82 today. But if you haven't got uranium fund, I think, you know, just take a little exposure. Doesn't have to be a lot, you know, 1-3% of your portfolio. That's all you need. And then if it starts moving up, maybe, you know, once you get a bit of profit, maybe think of buying some more and some more breakouts, because I think it's a long-term bull market in uranium. I'm saying this, but I have read about this, and obviously from people who know more about the uranium market than me, and that's what they're suggesting as well. So, and I'm just reiterating what they're saying, and they know. So where was I? Uranium, yes. Gold, sorry, copper up 2.48% there. I don't know why copper's up there. But it's up to, let's look at I don't want the pound, I want ton. The ton, that is $10,780 a ton. NASDAQ is up 0.6%. Is it all-time high? Not quite. Came back at 3 down days last week. And the Americans are, oh! It's going down. That shouldn't be happening. I did watch the Ryder Cup on the weekend. I'm not a huge golf fan. My parents were huge golf fans, but I had a friend around who's a big golf fan. We watched it. And then I got into it. I watched it on Sunday as well. So it's quite good that. It's nice to beat the Americans, isn't it? They're very loud. And they were trying to put the golfers off. McIlroy, shut the F up. He said to one of the guys. Fair play to him. Let's look at yields. The two-year government bond yield in the UK, of course, it's at 3.989, down 0.8%. The 10-year's at 4.698, down 1%. And the 30-year's down 0.95% at 5.5% yield. Pounded by €1.14. Okay, so the pound is weakening against the euro. That's interesting. It'll buy you $1.34, also weakening against that. Is the dollar's down, so that the pound must be weakening then. Okay. All right, let's look at the microcap database. These are companies that are sub-300 million market cap. This is micro and small cap, by the way. Releasing significant news. So first and foremost, Christie Group. I thought this was the auctioneer. I'm not sure what this company does, but they are a leading professional. I'll read out what they do, but I've still no idea and no clearer on what they do. A leading professional business services group with 33 offices across the UK and Europe, right? I know how many offices you've got, catering to specialist markets in the hospitality, leisure, healthcare, medical, childcare, and education and retail sectors. That's all sectors, isn't it? Just say all sectors. Christie operates in two complementary business divisions, professional and financial services, PFS, and stock and inventory systems and services. Still don't really know what they do. What I can tell you, though, at £1.20 a share, they are 30 million market cap, enterprise value of 25.8 million. So they've got about 4.8 million in cash, no debt. So they had their interim results today. I'm sure that was the case, wasn't it? Yeah, interim results to the 30th of June, 2025. And here's my comments on them. Revenue up 24%, decent, to 34.8 million. Net profit of 678K versus a loss of 634K. Net cash of 4.96 million versus net debt of 2.4. Free cash flow of 805K versus outflow of 2.36 million. Cash was boosted by the sale of loss-making part of the business, Orange. Like porridge, but without the P. The board has declared an increased interim dividend of 0.75 pence, up from 50 pence. That's a 50% increase in their interim, reflecting the improved H1 performance. Now, forecasts are for revenue to be up by 9% for the year, this is 2025, to 65.9 million. Net profit up 14% to 1.3. It's 124 shares, a P of 24, EV earnings 21. So single-digit top line, double-digit profit, but valuation is not compelling in my mind, 24 times. Okay, EVE at 21. Revenue for 26 expected to be up 8%, single-digit there. Net profit up, again, double-digit, 54% at 2 million. So PE of 16, that would be EV earnings of 13, so looking better. And at 2027, revenue of 8% to 76.8 million, a net profit of 3 million. But the margins aren't very big, are they? You know, you only make a net profit of 3 million, 76. So 5%, less than 5%. That would be a PE of 11 at current share price and EV earnings of 9. So I'm not familiar with the sector. Worth keeping an eye on, maybe, because the numbers are expected to improve. And if the SP goes nowhere, then it could become cheap there. So maybe worth a look, but they're showing improvement. They don't really know what they do. Intim Group, Intrims. We've got Intims, Intrims. Intim, I don't see why companies say this. Intim was established in 1993 by its founder and current CEO, Ali Athar, and focuses exclusively on digital technology. Intim has grown both organically and through a series of acquisitions of small legacy retail software systems and associated applications, which Intim has redeveloped to create a fully integrated end-to-end omni-channel platform. So it's used by retailers, retailers, because they did do, were they like, I'm sure they signed with the Entertainer, The Works, one of those recently. Anyway, at 62 pence a share, a market cap of 19.3 million, enterprise value of 15.5. I think that's come down a bit now because they've gone to, the cash has come down a bit. Yeah, it has. Just looking at the cash, they had net cash at the year end, this is the 31st of 12, 24, of 3.7 million or 3.8 million. And now it's 1.8. So that's come down. Anyway, so half year results. Revenue down 9% to 8 million. net loss of 500K versus 480, so it's down 480%. What was net loss before, previously? The net loss last time was 85K. So there we are. I'll update that. So I lost big in the half year. This isn't their busy half, though. Net cash for 1.84 million, down 38%. Free cash outflow of 1.7 million versus inflow last time of 1.35. So item 2025 $800 did not improve on H1 24, and it seems the forecast being achieved are conditional pipeline conversion, are conditional on, pardon me, against a tough backdrop, as the broker states. While uncertainty over the time of the contract conversions increases the risk profile of our 25 forecasts, which are H2 weighted and require a number of opportunities to be converted from the pipeline, we leave forecasts unchanged at this stage ahead of an important couple of months for the group. Yeah. So these are conditional on this pipeline converting. I'm not a big fan of pipelines, you know, that almost counted on as done. Because you often find they don't get done, or some of them don't get done. So 2025 forecast, revenue up 3% to 18.5 million, net profit up 250% to 700K at 61 pence a share, it's a PE of 27. Decent growth if they achieve these numbers, but valuation is a little rich. 2026, revenue up 5% to 19.5 million, net profit at 900K, which is up 29%, but still a PE of 21. So they're not really converting that, and you know, less than 10% net profit margin. So, yeah, they need a bit more scale, don't they? So I'm not convinced there. Like I say, they're conditional on their pipeline converting, which I'm always wary of. Spectra Systems. I started reading this morning. That was quite good, and then it turns out the 2025 figures are going to be okay. 26 not. So Spectra manufactures and markets advanced technology-based products for marking, tracking, and authentication applications across many markets, and is a world leader in banknote authentication. Our innovative solutions are comprised of consumables, hardware, and software components. They dropped quite a lot there, about 20%, I think. SPSY. Let's have a look. Yeah, 20%, well, 19% pretty much to 156 a share. So market cap is 74 million at 156 a share. Enterprise value, 67. So they got, you know, cash of about 9.8, debt of 3.2. In fact, cash is on down now to net cash is 7.4. So, you know, it's around about the same, I suppose. So, highlights, revenue. 25.9 million versus 16.8, up 54%. Net profit, 7.44 million, up 92%. Net cash, 860K, is that right? This is half year, isn't it? Oh, yeah, net cash, 860K. So that's gone down. In fact, I was looking at the wrong column earlier on. Sorry, I do apologise. That's net profit and loss, that was. So they've gone from a net cash for the full year, 31st of 12, 24, of 6.6 million net cash to now net debt of 859K. That's not good, is it? Even though H1 results are good and 2025 forecasts are unchanged, delays to two contracts have materially impacted 2026 forecasts. They're now expecting, like for 25, they're expecting 5% top line growth, 38.9, and net profit up 115% to 13.5. At 193 a share, it's PE of 7. So now it's even cheaper than that. It's a PE of 5. So growth in value. But 2026, revenue down 46% to 20.7, net profit down 40% to 8.1. And that'll be a PE of 11. In fact, it's changed now. It's gone down. So while I wrote this morning. So we've got a PE pretty much of on current earnings of 5 for 2025, but a PE of 8 for 26 or 9. So forecast PE. But like I said, they have got delays in these contracts, which is never good, is it? So that's what's taking a big chunk out of the share price today. I'm not a big... I don't know really what the business does. I know they do banknotes, but in my mind, obviously in certain countries, banknotes are still very big. But the trend... The longer trend is away from banknotes, isn't it? in my mind, you're fighting an uphill battle, going against the current a little bit there, or going against the currency. Right, next, Water Intelligence. It's a multinational provider of precision, minimally invasive leak detection and remediation solutions for both portable and non-portable water. What's the difference then? What's portable water? Isn't all water portable? I'm obviously don't know the definition here. The company's segments, you can carry water around with you, can you? In a bottle or something. It's all portable. Maybe it'll be drinkable. What do they mean by that then? Portable. Anyway, the company's segments include franchised royalty income. I know they are reacquiring some franchises, which suggests the franchises maybe are not performing. Maybe it's trouble is when you're a franchise model, you find you'll get these operators, single operated franchisees, and they don't do very well, and you need a bit of scale, So while these franchises may not be worthwhile to an individual holder, they could probably, there's economies of scale if Water Intelligence buys them up and they have quite a few of them. So maybe that's the case. Business, product equipment sales, US Incorporated. Yeah, it's based in the US. So at $275 a share, they are $47 million market cap, $65 million enterprise value. So they've got some debt. In fact, their debt has gone up quite a bit. Looking at H1 last year, they had net debt of $10.4 million. They've now got net debt of $20.5 million. So and that's up from year end as well. 18.275 it was. It's up 20.5, 20 and a half million. My comments here. So revenue up 33%. Sorry, revenue up 8% to $33.3 million. Net profit down 6%, $2.3 million. Net debt 20.5% up 97%. Free cash flow down 27% to $2.4 million. Only revenue improved and net debt increased by 97% there. So forecast for 25, revenue be up 13% to $69.6 million. Net profit 15% to $4.1 million at $2.78 a share, PE of 12 and EV earnings of 16. So you've got double digit growth on both top and bottom line, 13-15%. And value's okay for that type of growth. Worth paying attention to their EV earnings, though, as their debt is increasing. Revenue of 26 is top line up by 6%, $73.7 million. Net profit up 9% to 4.44. PE of 11, EV earnings of 15. But the single-digit growth here, so it's not compelling on a valuation perspective in my mind. I'm not idea what the peers are at, but they do have growing debt, which is a little bit of a worry if they are acquiring these franchisees. So for me, it's not interesting enough, compelling enough to really put an alert on the chart. Really, I mean, I always have alerts on the charts anyway on most companies I cover, but I wouldn't consider investing there, to be honest. That's it. Thanks for listening. Don't forget sharepickers.com. You can get 40%. Off membership or 20%, it's up to you. There's two options there. Check it out, sharepickers.com. Click on the About bit or the book on the website and you can find out more information there. Thanks for listening. Much was appreciatos. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.